I don't know just exactly how the Word of God affects you. You know, one person can't tell what is the delight of another person unless they have a discernment that is working and they discern that person's attitude. But I can say one thing. The Word of God pleaseth me well. I love the Word of God. I love to talk about it. I love to preach the Word of God. I love to sing the Word of God. I love to get alone just by myself over in the wee hours of the morning and communicate with God and His Word. And if I get away through the daytime, I like to read the Word or listen to the Word of God. I like the Word. There's something inspiring about it to me. There's something. It's a world of its own. I like to get caught away into that world. You know, a lot of people, they read newspapers and they watch television programs and they go to the movies and they read love magazines and all kinds of books, and they get caught away in that and they just get as though they're in that world. As a matter of fact, we've got some people here at Bethlehem that's been guilty of reading magazines and got so caught away in love stories till they finally broke up a true love, which was their own home, and they've reaped sorrow. I begged them not to do it, but they did it anyway. And they've reaped heartaches that will never be erased, and they've got marks against them before Almighty God that may cost them their soul in the end. He may not forgive them for it. I trust that He will. But you know, they get caught away in that world. And being in that world, there's parasites, there's demon spirits that come into their lives and heart and live their lives and sap their lives all during their lifetime. And there's other people that, though they do not read books, yet they'll listen to things over the radio, some kind of soap opera, some kind of stories, you know, or dragnet or whatever they've got on there. Now, I don't know what they've got. I heard they've got what they call a dragnet on there. But anyway, they listen to all of these things, you know, and they get caught away in those things until the spirit of that thing enters into them. And then that thing lives their life. And they, in their imaginary world, they are some great celebrity. Or they, every time they look in the mirror, they kind of feel like they favor a certain person that, you know, that looks kind of like them, or they look kind of like, or any way in their mind they want to look like him, you know. And they make themselves think that. And it's a horrible situation. People go through lives, and devils and demons live their lives, and they don't have any happiness. It's sad at the end of the way, or after many years, they wake up and realize what they've done. So, God wants us to be sober. He wants us to be children of God. He wants us to have one life, that is the life of Christ, to enter into the life of Christ, into the spirit of Christ, into the mind of Christ, and to get out of that imaginary world to the extent that we're casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, like Mary Magdalene, seven devils it was that Jesus cast out of that one woman. Could you imagine that? Seven devils lived in that one woman. There's numbers of people in the world that's got numbers of devils within them, like Legion. It spoke of Legion over there. Jesus asked, "What's your name?" He said, "Legion, for we are many." And those devils, all of those devils was in that one man and made him so super strong that he could break just bindings of chains or ropes or anything that they put around him. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be pure. So then, to be virtuous, to be holy, I preached to you this morning about the virtues of God and having godliness. You can't go out and enter into those things. You can't do it. I enter into this world, the Bible, it's a world of its own. I enter into it, into the Christ Spirit. See, but when you get into those other things, you enter into those things. You enter into those things. You know, you may get into a mind of buying and selling and feelings of prestige and feeling important and having a business and being somebody that's looked up to, you know. I've seen men, it's right comical, I'm sure that you've seen it. I've seen men sit around and chomp on a cigar. A great big old thing like a root sticking out their mouth and just chomping away, you know. And you could tell that they were just, they thought they were the most important thing in the world. And it's one of the freakish, most silly looking things I ever seen in my life. To me, I don't know how you feel, you know, but to me, it's foolishness. And I've seen other men, they have their pipes, the stinking thing stinks so that you can't hardly get near them, and they feel so important, you know, with that little hunk of fire sticking out the mouth there, you know. And to them, they're real important. And I've looked at them, and I thought, how foolish. God has made these people fools. The Bible said, because they love not the truth. God made them fools. They hang rings in their ears, and they feel real important. Hang rings in their nose, and they feel real important. They do all these crazy things. They shave their head, you know, and they put them a ponytail back here. Or they cut their breeches legs off up above their knees. Or they rip the skirts down, you know. Or they go around in these crazy, wild sort of ways. And they feel outstanding. I mean, they feel outstanding when it's nothing but a devil or a demon that's working in their fleshly being, just like maggots in a dead dog. The Bible said they that live in pleasure are dead while they live. I guess you think I use kind of crude approaches. But anyway, that's what it really is, folks. When God made a maggot and when God made a dead dog, that's why he made it. Did you know that? He made it. Paul said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world clearly understood by the things which do appear. And he made a dead dog with maggots working in the dead dog and the buzzards eating the dead dog to show those that are out in the world that are dead in trespasses and sin, having been rejected of God, some twice dead and plucked up by the root, and they are like this man over here. He's got a big business going. And I hope you'll pardon my expressions. I don't mean anything wrong. I'm just trying to tell it like it is and telling you the way it really looks to God. That this is the way it looks to God. And over here, this man, he's sitting up here behind a desk and he's chomping on a cigar, you know, and he's pointing it out to everybody and he's telling this man over here, I got it. I'm the know-how man, you know, and 15 of you follow me. And these 15, they follow. They're just drooling at the mouth, you know, trying to get a hold of what he's got, whereas they don't know it's for the pigs. And they're just trying their best to get to it, you know, and he's telling them what to do and how to do. And in the eyes of God, he is a buzzard set there to keep the earth clean by eating up the filth. And he's got the other buzzards around him now. And he's saying, five of you go this way and five of you go this way. I can get a whiff of a dead dog over here and a dead pig over here. You know, and out they go to make money, they call it. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. And they rear back, you know, in their offices, and they're so important. And if you could see them as they are, they would be wallowing in the mire, lapping their vomit, eating the dead carrion. This is the kind of people that they are. That's the truth. That's why I tell you so often, you are sons and daughters of God. You don't belong in the hog pen. You don't belong with the buzzards. You don't belong eating dead dog. See, you should not even stay around it. You go down the road and smell a skunk, you want to get away from it. Pass an old dead dog. Have you ever been going down the road just traveling for days and days and you're so hungry, just so hungry, and you think, you say, honey, we're going to stop at this next restaurant, and just as you get ready to turn in, shoo, comes in a dead dog. And you say, honey, just keep going a little longer. I'm not as hungry as I thought I was. See, the devil does that. He tries to kill our appetites for holy things. Isn't that right? He'll bring some kind of a stench into the community or into the church or in among the brethren to break up the fellowship, to keep us from having that wonderful feast of charity that God has given to us. Now, this is nothing. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I think it's just downright mean of you. You know, it seems I get these attitudes sometimes from people. Just downright mean of you and crude of you to say something against that fellow out there and call him a pig. I wonder how insulted an old sow would feel if you went up and said, you old sow, you old hussy, get out of the way. I want to pour some slop in here. Do you think it would bother that sow? Do you think it would bother a dog if you'd say, get out of here, dog? See, he's a dog. That's a sow. Now, if I went up to a human being and I'd say, you pig, get out of here, that'd be different. Isn't that right? But if, as Jesus called the man fox, if he's a fox, then he's a fox. If Jesus called one a sow, then they are a sow. If he called one a dog, then they are a dog. How many agree with that? Everybody would like to just kind of wrestle with the Lord over that and kind of straighten God out over that. You would you raise your hand? I believe you think he knows what he's talking about. If God said he's a pig, he's a pig. If God said he's a dog, he's a dog. And I don't feel like I've insulted anybody. Now, somebody said, well, that's the way the Jews were. They called them people dogs. I know it. They called them dogs. But the only thing is, the Jews at that time didn't have proper differentiation. Now, I don't mean this wrong. But a pig isn't going to call another pig pig, is he? Are you listening? Jesus didn't get upset because they called him dogs. The thing that he didn't like was one pig mooching another one in the side, trying to make himself something, you know, when the other was a pig, and he was a pig too. See, he said, more holier than thou. When you take that outlook, you're more holier than somebody else. Instead of saved by the grace of God, then that's where the trouble comes in. Jesus just as much as said, you're all a bunch of sows. You're all a bunch of dogs. And there ain't none of you good, not none of you, except me. He said, I'm all right. He said, unless you believe I'm healed, die in your sins. So then he said, the woman said, well, what about Messiah? He said, I'm him. So all of the world is in wickedness. All of the world is in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God has laid the iniquity of all of the world upon the Lord Jesus. And there is none good, no, not one. Not one doeth good, not one. So then Jesus didn't like it. He didn't like it because of the way they were doing one another. They were just as guilty as the other. He said, You say that you're upright, and you say that you love God, and you say that you did not kill. You say this, and you're not guilty of the death of the prophets. He said, but you are, because you're the children of them that killed them. And you've gave your consent to them. You polished the sepulchre that they lay in. You are guilty, just as guilty as they are. See, if I do the things that someone else does, I'm just as guilty. The Bible says that you do the same things that others have been punished for, knowing that the judgments of God came upon them. And yet you know better and you still do them. See, so I can't go around, if I'm just as piggish as anybody else, I can't go around rooting somebody like that, you know, saying, that is, if he's a pig, you get out of the way, you old pig. Looking at myself as something else. I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, we just all have to share the slop bucket together. And we all have to bubble in the slop together. And we all have to eat the slop together. But if I'm born again, if I'm a child of God, I don't have to root, push, shove, fill my belly with the husk that the swine eats. All I got to do is get out of the hog pen. I got to realize and recognize that I'm not a pig, and I've got no business down there beating and kicking and banging the pigs around. I just need to get out of there and leave them alone and let them do what they enjoy doing. That's their nature. So then the world out here enjoys bubbling in the slop. The buzzards enjoy eating dead dogs and dead cats. But there's no need for you to go out there and drag an old dead cat in here, an old dead dog in here. There's no reason for you to interfere with our feast of charity by bringing those old ugly filthy minds and filthy conversations in here. There's no need for you going out all day long and feeding off of an old dead dog and then coming in here with bad breath. See, there's no reason for you to do that. God people don't do that. They can't even stand the stench. An old dead dog, a person won't even stay around an old dead dog. They get away from that. But a buzzard delights in eating a dead dog. An old possum delights in eating a dead dog. God has made them people to keep the earth clean, so they devour one another. See, no need to go out and shoot all the buzzards. It'd be bad, wouldn't it? What would the earth smell like if you killed all the buzzards? Let the buzzards go on, because some of those buzzards out there, that is, when I say buzzards, I'm talking about money men, those rich men, those wealthy men, those buzzards that are out there, they're feeding off of these that are dead, and some of them twice dead and plucked up by the root. They've got a bunch of people out here enslaved. They work them and they pay them. And these people just bubble in the beer over the weekend, and they just slop around and in jail and out of jail and just do any old way. And they don't have any character. They don't try to get up and do anything. They don't care, as long as they can get money and fight and fuss and lay around with each other as to passions and whatever. Then they continue on. See, they're dead, and those big fat buzzards feed off of them out there. But we are children of God. We are holy people. We are godly people. We are virtuous people. So stop trying to look important. Stop trying to get yourself a business. Stop trying to have prestige. Stop trying to relate to the world. If God has put you in a position like He did Daniel, think about God and keep your mind on God. If God has put you in a position like He did the children of Israel, that is to say, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, then look to God, praise God, think about God. If God's put you in a position like He did Esther, then think about God, fast and pray. Keep your mind on God, keep your eyes on God, and don't worry about the world, and don't get interested in the world. And if God's got you out there for a month, that's good. When He gets through, get out of there. If God's got you out there for 10 years, then stay out there with it. But don't ever at any time get your mind on the world or the things of the world or the money or don't lean on the arm of flesh or don't go down to Egypt for your help. Because if you do at any time, then you're going to be cursed of God. Cursed is he that leaneth upon the arm of flesh or that goeth down to Egypt for his help. So then I'm telling you that you need to keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look unto the Lord. Get caught up in His Word. As I started here with my thought, I get caught away in this book. I get in the spirit of this book. But if you go out there, you get in the spirit of the world. You get in the spirit of the ball game. You get in the spirit of those news medias with their lies. News medias. I say these things openly so all the world can hear it. News medias as a whole are like a bunch of snakes in the grass. They lay there. They take everything that's godly, everything that's pure, everything that's virtuous, and they talk about it, and they publish it, and they pass it from one to another like a bunch of buzzards, as they really are. And they feed off of that stuff, and they make such a mucky mess out of it until you don't need a newspaper coming to your house. That's right. Magazines are the same way. Those people that publish the magazines, they take everything and they play it up until your daughters and your sons, if they get this filth in their mind, they're like a bunch of buzzards themselves. And they'll have that stuff all over the house. Sending them to public schools, it's the same way. Public schools is a cesspool of iniquity. And out there, the teachers have become rotten. And it's a horrible situation. And the whole thing is a stink in the mind of God and in the nostrils of God. The government of today has become rotten. It's become a cesspool of iniquity. And the whole thing is rotten and condemned in the sight of God. And God's going to bring it down. You say, oh no, Brother Pike, God's going to bring it down. He's going to bring the government down. He's going to bring the educational system down. He's going to bring the religious world down. He's going to bring the ball game, the sports world down. He's going to bring it all down. God is going to bring it down. If God doesn't bring it down, I hope you'll come back and say, preacher, you're the biggest liar I ever heard. Because I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, God is going to bring every bit of it down. There won't be none of it left. The government and every bit of it. So then, God promised to do it. He's going to do it. But in the meantime, lest you and I get caught up in the Spirit of God. Let's get caught up in the Word of God. Let's let the Spirit of Christ come in and live our life. And not a demon spirit. Not some devil, not some parasite. Let's don't go out and eat off of the dead Karen out there. Let's don't go out there with a bunch of buzzards and dogs and pigs that's out there in that filthy mess. Don't get out there in that racial strife and get in that filthy mess out there. Get out of there. You know, if I've got one person in Bethlehem that's mixed up in that, I want you to know to your face that you are a buzzard. You are a pig, you are a swine, you are a buzzard. If you're mixed up in that, you couldn't be nothing less than a buzzard. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, I want to repeat that. I said you're a buzzard. Nobody would get mixed up in that unless there was a buzzard. When you go around where a buzzard's at and you eat with a buzzard, then you are a buzzard. You withdraw from that and you come, you stay out of the KKK and you stay out of this black racial thing and the white racial thing, and you stay away from this strife of everything in the world. You stay away from the filth of the news medias, and you stay away from the filth of education, the filth of TV and the filth of magazines and the filth of newspapers, away from the filth of sports. You stay away from the filth of the gossiping tongue. You stay holy and godly and pure. And the Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. But I'll tell you, if you touch the unclean things, God isn't going to receive you. You love the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody says, praise the Lord. Like I told them yesterday when the Ku Klux Klan was over there burning the cross. I said they can burn all the crosses they want to burn. We've had black and white here together before they burned the cross. I said, and when they finish burning the cross, we're still going to have our black and white together. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. If I was over here trying to be contrary and be some foolish feller just to show off or run my mouth, it'd be a different thing. I'd need something done to me. But in that I'm over here for God, trying to do the right thing for God, they can burn crosses wherever they want to burn crosses. When they get through, we're going right on, and our black brethren and our black sisters and our whites are going to go right on fellowshipping God, and they're not going to move me not one tiny bit. I run into them everywhere I went, and they haven't moved me yet, and they're not going to move me now. So then, as long as they don't bother us, we're not going to meddle with them. We're not going to meddle with strife. The Bible said meddling with strife is like taking a person by the nose, a dog by the ears. It's like churning. You know, if you keep churning, you'll bring butter. We're not going to bother them, but at the same time, God isn't going to let them bother us either. We've got a job to do, and we're going to do that job, whether it's here among the black or among the white or among the yellow or among the red or whatever. We're going to do our job. We're sons and daughters of God, and some crazy bunch of hollering, screaming. You know, I heard the hollers and screams over there of all the crazy, idiotic things, screaming and hollering like that's going to scare somebody. To me, it's just downright evil and foolishness. And I am shocked that America and the laws of America and the government would allow any such thing to even go on in this country. That's just downright foolishness of our government. As a matter of fact, it makes me know one thing. The government's in the same kind of condition. Them white suits they got and the old cross is nothing but a Catholic system. The Catholics went from the black to the white. They went from the black to the white. And what was happening over there, God allowed that. We're preaching at this time the casting out of Satan and the catching up of the man-child, and they call that thing the Grand Dragon. And that had to do with the casting out of the devil on the other side of Jordan. The other side of Highway 78 and that cross. And it had to come to pass at this time because God made him do that. We can't get upset because God made him do that. He has to have all that going on to carry out his plans. But someday, folks, God's going to get rid of that stuff. He's going to get rid of all of that. I noticed that the law was over here on this property that we rent, taking refuge right there at the house that we have. See, that's the Jews' property, which again shows that with the coming of the personification and the casting out of the dragon, with that, it shows that it is contrary to the Jews. Because Mr. Podber found out about it, and he said he didn't want them over there around his property. So it shows, see, that thing that we're preaching about. And then they had this J.B. Stoner, one that burned a church down here somewhere in Alabama. And he was over there, I think, a racist that was supposed to be speaking over there. And again, it shows God rolling away that old heart of stone and getting rid of that thing. You know, God is going to do it. At the very same time that they were out there carrying on with that kind of stuff, our girls, it's called the Angelic Choir, was over yonder in the mall where all the goodies are singing glory to God. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man. So it's a beautiful thing in what God's doing if we can see it. No doubt there's a lot of fine people that's mixed up in the Ku Klux Klan. We met a lot of fine people. Some of them's been in our meeting. As a matter of fact, we got some of them in our meeting tonight. But we've had some of them in our meetings in different places, and they've come personally and said, we've not tried to cause you any trouble, Brother Pike, which they haven't. So we're not against people, a lot of good people among them. We'd like to see them converted. And we have seen some of them converted, and we'll continue to see some of them converted. And same way about Catholics. I speak freely about the Catholics, but I'm speaking of a system. I'm not speaking against the people. When I speak of a denomination, a Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever, I'm not speaking of a people. I'm speaking of a system. I'm speaking against a system. Because Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When I speak of people that are money men and I speak of these things, of sports, I'm not speaking against people. Many a great sports leader, as well as sportsmen, have become great Christians. Billy Sunday was an outstanding preacher. Preached hard. Was a baseball player before. See, so I'm speaking of a system. But one thing I do say, I like to make the system sound exactly like it is. I bring it out in Revelation. That's why it sounds crude. Paul said rude in speech and yet not in knowledge. It's very crude the way I bring it out because that's the way it is. That's the truth. That's the way the world needs to know about it. See, so I'm not against anybody. I'm against Satan. And wherever Satan lives in a life, it's like Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. If a person numbers themselves with the devil, then they are the devil unless they get rid of the devil. And then if they get rid of the devil, then they're not numbered with the devil. If you number yourself with Christ, then you are Christ. Just like you are the devil, if you number yourself with the devil, then you are God if you number yourself with God. So then this is what we're trying to say. We're not against people. I meet all kinds of people everywhere, and I'm not against people. Just like here, we go up to the place, I believe we mentioned it this morning. We go up to a certain place, the Full Gospel Businessmen up in Alaska. We'll be up there preaching for them for good Lord's will. And over in Fairbanks, Alaska, and Mr. Guy Whitney, the international director, and Bob Herringshaw, the chapter president, will be there. We're supposed to be at a church of God up there. These people, they don't understand the way that you understand. We preached for them before in their churches and in their chapters. And they don't understand the way that you understand. But who knows? It's like Brother Clyde Cobbs. He is from the Church of God and was devoted in the Church of God. Before that, he was in the Congregational Holiness Church. And we have both those churches right here in town. But he finally found that redemption was in the name of Jesus. And finally he and his wife was baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sin. See, this helps. This helps. You keep preaching to those people. You keep working with them. It doesn't matter if it's a ball player. Keep talking to the baseball player. You might win him over. See, the only thing is, don't go out there and join his game. You know, it doesn't hurt to eat with the sinners and the publicans, but you don't have to become a sinner and a publican. See, the Bible said, come out from among them, be your separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Now, the Bible said, I know that you cannot come out from among them to the extent that you have to leave them, for if you did that, then you'd have to leave the world. But he said you can come out from among them to the extent that you're not partakers of their wrong. So then it is the sick that need a physician, and what we need to do is get out there and talk with them. But remember, they are beasts. How do you know they're beasts? Let's read a little from the book of Jude, first verse, first chapter. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and eat speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruits withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the word which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Notice this. It says here, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. All right, now, it's obvious here that Satan plays on the senses. This morning I said something to you about the senses, about the human senses. It's very obvious here that Satan plays on the human senses. He uses the human senses. That's the only way that he can work. He is in this world. How do you know that the devil is in this world? A lot of people don't know that the devil's in the world. They don't know where the devil's at. But the devil is in this world. See, the Bible says, "Greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world." Which means that God is inside of you if you've been born again. Think about that now. The devil is inside of this world. He's in this world. He's the prince of the powers of the air. That's why you hear so much about science and the atomic particles. He is the prince. Jesus is not the prince of this world. He is not the prince of the powers of the air. He said, "I am the prince of life. I am the prince of life. I'm the source of life. I understand life. I know where life is. I'm the prince of life. My understanding, my mind is the great mighty mind that understands life in its constitution." Said, but Satan is the prince of this world. He took it away from Adam. He is the prince of this world. And the Bible says that he is the prince of the powers of the air. So he is the scientific powers of this world. It's a knowledge, Paul said falsely, so called. It's a knowledge where they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's a perverted mind. It's a reprobate mind.
It's one that doesn't understand anything. So then it is called chains of darkness. It is called darkness. Paul turned my people from darkness unto light. And then it says here, and these are bound in chains of darkness. That is, you've heard people as a chain talker, as a chain smoker, as a chain thinker. People think as a chain. It is thoughts of darkness, of intellectual reasoning. And these thoughts literally bind the soul of humanity. The angelic being on the inside of a person is bound with these angelic thoughts of darkness that is a derivative from the tree of knowledge. So then your spirit, your angelic being, can be bound in chains of darkness. And God is the great, wonderful God of light. And His world is a wonderful world of light. In God's world, there's no confusion. It's great and mighty light. It's peace and happiness. You know, when you have pain, when you have misery, when you have problems, you're in a world of darkness. You're in a world of confusion. You can't figure that thing out. You think, God is good. Why then do I hurt? God is good. Why am I then in poverty? God is good. Why is my little child suffering? Why doesn't God care? Why doesn't God do something about it? See, you're in a world of confusion. You're in the chains of darkness. But, beloved friend, when you break that chain, when you break that bondage, when you break that cord, and the wonderful anointing comes down, because the anointing does break the yoke. When the anointing breaks the yoke, and you feel those chains of darkness just pop off like that, just break off from you, and then you feel at liberty. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there's liberty, because it breaks the yoke. It breaks the bondage. It takes away that tight, uptight feeling. And it gives you that wonderful inspiration that comes from God Almighty. Words, penetrating words, penetrating words that get down into your heart, get down into your mind. Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. So then they penetrate and they get down into your heart. They get down into your blood genetics. And they cause you to be strong and healthy and happy. They fill you with the blessings of God till your cup runs over. So, I, having this in my heart, having this mind in my heart, I stay free from the chains of darkness. I dwell in the world of light. Paul, you've come from the world of darkness unto light. The scales have fallen from your eyes. Now, with your knowledge, you turn my people from darkness unto light. Turn them from darkness unto light. This wonderful light of God within you. Every day this light gets brighter. We sing that song, brighter and brighter the light shines. More and more the perfect light under the perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. And the Bible said, until the day star has risen within your heart. It'll rise up in your heart, and then it gets brighter and it gets brighter and it gets brighter, and after a while, you know, it's like this. You have a little lamp here, you know, and you light that little wick in it. And maybe there's a very little light, just a little bit of light. But you keep on working with it, and you roll the wick up a little more, and roll the wick up a little more. And finally the light just looms right out of the shadows, and it looms right out of this little globe. And it begins to push the shadows away that's in the room. And after a while, you find that the light isn't just dwelling within the globe, but you find that you are dwelling within the light. Walking in the light as He is in the light, and you're having fellowship one with another. My light shines out. Brother Taylor sings a song, let your little light shine. My little light starts shining, shines over here, and it shines over here. And then Brother Taylor, that says a lot, little light starts shining, it shines out there. And after a while, we keep coming together, and then there's no shadows in between us. All of a sudden, we're just one light. Every member, like the little candlelight services they have had in the years gone by, everybody brings a candle. You take your little candle, I take my little candle, and they speak of candle power in the world as light. See, and each candle power coming together makes a greater light or a greater candle power. The Bible teaches that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching out the inward part. He also tells us that if we don't do the right thing, that He will come and move that candlestick. He'll take your candlestick away. If you don't do right, He'll just Put your light out, and then you'll be in darkness altogether. So then it's a wonderful thing here to know that we are not beasts. We're not brute beasts. Here Jude speaks of these brute beasts out there. He speaks of these chains of darkness out there. Speaks of these ungodly people with their ungodly speeches out there. See, but you and I, we are the light of the world. Do you feel like you're light tonight? I'm a light tonight, and light is life. Well, the Bible teaches that in light there is life. In life there is light. And so then I am the light of the world. Jesus said, now I go away. He said, ye are the light of the world. See, ye are the light of the world. For each one of you, you've taken on a measure of the light of God. Ever what your measure is, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, whatever your light is. You take a little bitty child, that little bitty baby, it's just a tiny bit of life. You can just abuse it, mistreat it. You can hurt it. You can knock the life out of it just like that because it's a little bit, just a little bit of life. But folks, as it grows bigger, bigger, you can knock it, you can bruise it, you can do many things, but it'll still recover. And it'll still come back strong. That life on the inside, that's what counts. I wish we could get a hold of that tonight. It's like Brother Clyde, he had a fall from a ladder. And Satan would like to have killed him. He was out trying to do something on the church job. Satan would like to have killed him. But see, the life on the inside of Clyde has been through many bruises. It's been through many problems. And that life refused to yield. It fights back the misery, fights back the hurt, fights back everything to bring that body back to its position as God would ordain that it should be. See, fighting against that. Jesus did that going to Calvary. He became obedient even unto death on the cross, but he fought against the evil and misery until finally he said, I lay down my life, I'll take up my life. And he took up his life and took it up unto eternal life. See, that life on the inside refuses to give. It refuses to yield. Many a person in a boxing ring fighting would ordinarily have gone down and would have stayed down and never won the bout. Speaking of the world as a type now, not encouraging you to go to these things, but trying to show you what God is showing. See, many a person would never have won the bout if they had not have had that perseverance. They no doubt was not the match for the opponent. But because of their perseverance and because of their drive, they did it anyway. See, they rose up and they did it anyway. When you've got a perseverance, when you've got a drive, when you've got something that when that head is hurting, you say, I don't care. I don't care. You know, you get in misery like everybody. You suffer like Jesus did, like everybody. You're supposed to do that to fill the infirmities of the weak. But you say, I don't care. I'm going to do it for God. You've got cancer. You've got problems. You've got heartaches. You've got heart trouble. You say, I don't care. I'm going to live. I'm going to live. I'm going to live. I'm going to do it for God. I'm going to keep on living. I'm going to do it for God. See, you can. Somebody said, well, you can't do that, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can, too. See, it's the life. The life is what counts. It's not the body. It's the life on the inside. If that life refuses to give up, if that spirit refuses to give up, the opposition has got to give up. There's no way. There's no way that the devil can overpower you if you refuse to give up. See, you've got to have that drive. You've got to have that determination. You've got to have that pressing toward God, that perseverance. See, it doesn't matter about your age. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter about your education. You can be successful in the world. You can be successful in God. It doesn't matter about your appearance. You can be successful if you want to be successful in life. You've got to have the perseverance. It's that drive. You've got to have that drive. You can't give up. All night long, Jesus would pray. He's a man like I'm a man. But all night long, he would pray, tired and weary. And you know where you and I would get up and we'd say, oh my God, I'm so tired. Lord, I can't think anymore. I've just got to go to bed. Jesus would just press on, saying, oh God, give me strength. Oh Heavenly Father, hear me. God, I've got to wait for the morning light. I've got to win the battle. I've got to triumph over the darkness. And he'd stay right there, just like Jacob. Jacob did the same thing when the angel said, "Let me go, Jacob, let me go." He said, "No, no, I won't let you go until you bless me." He said, "Jacob, let me go. The morning's coming." He said, "No, when you bless me, I'll let you go." And when he blessed him, then he let him go. See, he wrestled with that angel. He struggled with that angel. He wouldn't let that angel go. He wouldn't turn him loose. Can you imagine a man, a little lord of the angels, prevailing against an angel? How did Jacob do it? By faith in God. Amen. By faith in God, he locked himself around that angel and he said, "There's trouble up ahead. My brother's coming. Esau, kill me." I took his birthright and he'd hold on to that angel. And that angel said, "I gotta go. I can't stay here. I gotta go." And by the strength of God, Jacob, you know, I could just hear him saying, "Give me a little more strength, Heavenly Father. I'm holding him. I ain't gonna let him go." Holding on. God would say, "Hold on, Jacob." Jacob would hold on and that angel couldn't get away. And then when the job was done, the angel said, "All right, Jacob. All right, Jacob. From henceforth, your name shall be called Israel, which is the name of a prince. No longer be Jacob as to the deceiver, but you'll be Israel, the name of a prince." And that's what we need to do. See, they sang that song, "How long have you stayed? How long have you prayed on your knees till the light breaks through? Have you ever stayed? Have you ever travailed? Have you ever made yourself stay there?" You say, "But oh, Brother Pike, I get so tired. I get so weary." So did Jesus. So did Jesus. But what if Jesus had given up? What if the Lord had given up right at the very time that he got weary? Where would I be today? I wouldn't have any eternal life, and you wouldn't have any eternal life. See, so then God wants you to be alive. God wants you to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit of God. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have life on the inside that won't yield. Life that won't give up. Life that'll plow on through. Folks, let me tell you, I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about life that you have right now in these earthen vessels. Heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. Life right now. Not something that you're going to get or obtain unto. I'm talking about this life that you've got on the inside of you. You can make up your mind to persevere with it like Enoch did and bypass the grave and go right on over death and right on over sleep, right on into the holy world of God to come. So then today, we are privileged people. I am a happy person because I understand. And because I understand, I believe what I understand. Solomon said, "With wisdom, get understanding." So I understand what I see, what I believe. I believe that I pass from death unto life. I believe that my sins are gone. I believe that he has made me a God and that I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You say, "But Brother Pike, you said that was going to come at the Thessalonian change." I know, but the Bible said calling those things that are not as though they are. This was given to me in Christ before the world ever was and brought to my knowledge or light or understanding at the rent veil of Calvary, having been preached to the generations down through the church ages that I, in this day, might be partakers of it, to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this wonderful thing. So then I've comprehended it. I felt it. I believe in it. I know it. So I rejoice in it. I don't doubt those things. You know the beautiful thing about Mary when the angel came to her, said, "And Mary, this holy thing that is going to be born of you, it's going to be called the Son of God." Said there's going to be a divine conception. Mary didn't say, well, this can't be. She didn't say, that's impossible. You know, she didn't say that. Being unmarried, she didn't say that. She knew she wasn't going to defile her body. But she didn't doubt. Read the scripture. When the angel spoke to her, she just asked him, "How can it be? You know, and how's this thing going to be? In what way? What do I have to do?" This is all that she asked. She never doubted it. She never doubted it. See, but when the angel came to the one that was there in the priesthood, John the Baptist's father, when he came there to Zechariah, it was different. See, he said, "Being old, oh no. My wife old, oh no." See, and did like Sarah. Not like Abraham. See, that was doubting. When God comes to you, don't doubt. Just because it sounds impossible, don't doubt it. Just because it's not according to your train of thought. Just because it's not according to your way of life. Just because you're not acquainted with it. Just because it hasn't been according to your ritualistics of life. Don't doubt it. If God said it, believe it anyway. I make it a practice in my life to believe God's word anyway. It doesn't matter if it's pain, if it's misery, whatever. I do everything I can for my body, everything I can to keep myself together. Unless I feel to suffer through a thing, which I do a lot of times. As long as it don't get in the way of me trying to do something for God. That's the purpose of the conflict anyway. But see, what I'm saying is this. Have a perseverance. If you've got life, use that life. Don't let the oppression of the devil and the spirit of death just come in over your body and smother your life out. People at 25 years old, 32 years old, they get so depressed, they get so melancholy, some little something happens to them, and death just comes in and literally presses the life out of them. Another person will go along in a perseverance like Brother Armstrong, 95 years old, still going strong, still taking his ministry along, wasn't old and feeble or senile. He wasn't in that way at all, sharp, alert, going right along, doing something for God. See, because of the drive, because of the perseverance, Moses, 120 years old, see, going right along, doing the will of God, Caleb and other great men, some of those men were 80, 90, 100 years old, still fully at themselves, young and alert. Why? Because it's in the life. It isn't in the body. Amen. It is in the life. The life is what furbishes the body. See, it is the life. You say, but Brother Pike, there's a sentence of death in us. I know that. The Bible said there's a sentence of death in you. You've got the sentence of death in you, and that sentence is the day that thou sin, thou shalt surely die. It's passed on down to you. But that is in the body. The Bible said within the body there dwelleth no good thing. So then the sentence is, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He said, and the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so the sentence of death is in man. Isn't that right? But it also says that God looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that were appointed unto death. That was Calvary. And succored them at that time. I brought it out to you how that all of them that were under the law was under the penalty of death. All of them that are under the law today are under the penalty of death. But I also brought out to you how Paul points out concerning Enoch, that Enoch was not under the law. He was not under the law. Therefore, he was not under the penalty of death. He had faith in God, and it was translated that he should not see death. Isn't that right? So then, according to what God has said, we're not under the penalty of the law. We're on the side of the law. God heard the groaning of the prisoners. He loosed them that was appointed unto death. I once was appointed unto death. I once had the sentence of death within me, but I don't have the sentence of death within me anymore. See, the body profiteth nothing. God appointed me unto death. He appointed you unto death. But there came a time when Jesus met that appointment as a man. Jesus came down and became me in death that I might become him in life. That is, the Lord Jesus came down and met the appointment of death. And he was made sin, even my sins, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So then my death is over. The appointment is over. The sentence of death in me is over. It's gone. It's passed. It's been taken away. It's buried back there. The body. It's all to the body. It was against the body. He charged it against the body. My body's dead. My body's gone. My body's no more. So today, it is not I that liveth, but Christ. I'm not living in the flesh anymore. I'm walking in heavenly places. The sentence of death is not in me anymore. Come on, folks. I said the sentence of death is not in me anymore. See, I pass from death unto life. So then it has to do with the Spirit. Isn't that right? It has to do with the drive of the Spirit. Can I master the body? Can you master the body? All of the physical problems that they have out here, all of the medical aid, it's for the body. We do something for the body because we feel the pain in the body. We feel the misery in the body. But God has to do that. God has to allow that. God does that to discourage demon spirits. God does that to discourage demon spirits. All of the mishaps of life, all of the conflicts of life, all of the inflictions of life, God does that. God allows poverty. God allows sickness. God allows those things. But the Bible said God doth not afflict willingly. It is not God's will to do that. But God has to allow many things to keep us humble and to keep us in our right place. See, this discourages demons. You say, oh, Brother Pike, how can that discourage demons? Because the Bible said, speaking of these wicked men, Jude brought it out right here, said, and these are wicked men, brute beasts, many of them, made to be taken and burned. And he said, these are wicked men who have separated themselves sensually. They have, by their human senses, separated themselves. By their human senses, you know, scientists say that we have the five senses of taste, smell, hearing, feel, and these kind of things. So then they have separated themselves sensually. They have taken their senses and turned their senses into the hands of demons, into the hands of fallen angels. They have turned their senses over to the things of the world. Their appetites and their desires are turned over to the world. See, God has so set a system in motion that our desire moves in a certain way, and we follow after that desire. You understand what I'm saying? Satan takes advantage of that to drive us toward that in a perverted manner, to do away with the values of our life or to muddle up our life. We can't help it because we're caught in the trend of that kind of thing. And I'm sure you don't understand altogether what I'm saying. But anyway, sensually speaking, the wicked have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They have at this time, while there's grace, while the blood is on the seat of atonement, they have, through their sensual surrenders to the demon powers, given strength to Lucifer, and they have turned the grace of God, even this dispensational grace, into lasciviousness. That is, instead of godliness, they do the evil, wicked things and take advantage of this grace of God. Whereas one day God will get them for that. So then you see that these sensual powers, you can lust with the eyes. The Bible speaks of the lust of the eyes. You can lust with the eyes. You can lust with the different parts of your body. You can do this with the different human senses that you've got. These men sensually have separated themselves from God and from God's spirit and let Satan's spirit take a hold of it. And this is where the redemption of the body comes in. You and I are working with the Holy Spirit on the inside to try to recover these things from the snare. Trying to recover our body from the snare. The only way I can recover my body from the snare is to overpower my human senses. I've got to get control of my human senses. I've got to get a bridle on my body. I've got to get control of my eyes, control of my hearing, control of my speech. I've got to get control of myself. I've got to overcome these problems that I have in the body with the human senses. These human senses was given to man for his good. In the Garden of Eden, there were to be appetites so that he could enjoy the wonderful creation of God and the things of God, and God, being a spirit, could dwell in the temple of the human body and enjoy these things with man. Man's spirit being one with God, and man sharing these human appetites through the senses with God as to the inspiration of natural creation, while God shares with that spiritual man on the inside life and abundance to be able to continue to live eternally, to have those wonderful things. And it was a holy union between man and God. It's a wonderful thing. That is the secret of godliness, a woman and a husband is one. So we see how this is so beautiful in what God intended. But the harlotry came in when Satan, Lucifer, a fallen angel, got into the wife Eve and stole the bride. When he took the body away from God, that is where the problem come in. And ever since, we've seen it in types and shadows, the things of this world showing the things that are invisible. We see it, God and the Spirit. And Satan, the fallen angel, the infiltration has entered into the human body. And Paul said, within my body there dwelleth no good thing. Said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, this body has got my interspiritual being in a confinement and it's killing me. Said, it's driving me crazy, as we would say. It oppresses me. It keeps me under suppression all the time. It accuses me. I feel dirty. I feel wretched. I feel cut off from God. I feel cast down because of these things. But folks, let me tell you, if you'll take your human senses away from the devil, If you'll pull your human senses away from the devil, if you'll pray, if you'll fast, if you'll be filled with the Spirit, if you'll take that inner strength, being strengthened by the power and might of the inner man, and make war against the body, and that the continual warfare there is between the body and the soul, make war against the body. Come against the body. Cast out the unclean spirits. And the Bible said, don't let sin reign, that is to rule in your mortal body. Make your body to be holy as well as your spirit. So you can overcome and you can save yourself from this underworld generation. That is, you can be filled with the Spirit and you can have such great inspiration in the Holy Spirit that it'll overpower your human senses. And it'll bridle your human senses. And it'll do away with the human senses to the extent that they won't be out of control, that you'll use them accordingly. The Bible speaks of the last days and how wild and rentless people would be, saying that the man would leave the natural use of the woman and be burned in their lust one toward another. See, getting wild, those things are so gullible, evil spirits are so gullible, that though they take advantage of your human senses, even to the extent of human relations, still they're not satisfied. They're wild, they're gullible. See, they demand at least twice or more of the inspiration that you have to have. See, God gives you your human senses to inspire your temporal life, to keep you alive. I take a bite of an apple and the taste buds thrill me. My whole being lights up. See, you understand what I'm saying? Like Esau said, I'm faint. Give me some of that pottage. So God does that. Like the little girl he raised from the dead said, give her something to eat. Inspiration. This is why you have ball games and things in the world. It is a perverted source that Satan has brought about to inspire. And that causes man to leave the true inspiration of what God has put there. See, and they leave that, and Satan brings in these other things because he is eating the body alive. He's like worms in the apple. He's literally consuming people. The Bible said, what the caterpillar got, the years that the cankerworm has got, I'll restore it. See, they are literally, those things are literally eating God's people up. He said, who is this that eat my people as bread? So they're literally eating people up. The worm is literally eating people up. See, we're failing to go through that metamorphosis stages of leaving the old worm in the cocoon and becoming the beautiful heavenly creature. And while we're in this state of worms, as we say, while we're in this state, he said, Jacob, thy worm, the state of the worm. That is, through the birth of Adam, the fallen one, and Adam all die while we're in that condition. While our beautiful butterfly-like creature on the inside, that heavenly spiritual being that can float out through heaven, while it's in the bondage of this fleshly worm, this little cocoon, then the devils and demons are trying to eat it up, trying to consume it. But see, we are trying to stay clear of the fowls of the air, of those evil vultures and those things that would consume us. See, and then when the beautiful butterfly is released, off it goes to heaven, as we say. The beautiful colors of the rainbow and its little wings. So I'm saying all of those things to say this. We are a heavenly creature. Though we are in earthen vessels, and this is heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, and though we are among the beast and even the brute beast and in the wilderness of the world of this intellectual wandering, yet we are the sons of God. We are headed for Canaan. We do have Christ on the inside. We do have eternal life. And beloved friend, we have it right now. See, it's not the body. It is the life. It is the life. Stay full of life. That life can be energized. You can be rejuvenated. You can be filled with life, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit. See, more Spirit, more life. Life is Spirit. Be filled with life. Constantly filled with life. Abundance of life. Filled up and running over with life. Stay with it. Keep getting life. Keep getting life. Keep getting life. That's what you want to do. To the extent that Paul had so much life within him that when the viper bit him, the poison viper, the poison didn't even hurt him. The poisonous viper bit like that, and immediately the Spirit of God within the bloodstream of Paul killed it. The Bible said it, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall tread on serpents, and they shall not hurt them.
We don't practice drinking poison. We don't practice taking up snakes, because those things indicated spiritual things. But it also was a natural protection. That snakes shouldn't hurt us. That anything like that shouldn't hurt us. Poison shouldn't hurt us. If we in any way should get a hold of poison, it should have no effect on us. If a spider should bite us, it should have no effect on us. If a serpent should bite us, it should have no effect on us. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God, having a good time in God. And our life and our spirit is so great on the inside that when these poisons hit our bloodstream, the spirit of life kills the poison. You take a person that's real healthy, real strong, it doesn't matter if some kind of sickness strikes them. It doesn't matter if a virus strikes them. They have such a constitution. They have such an inner perseverance. And they have such a great outstanding bodily resistance until they just throw it off. Where another person that's weak and run down, pneumonia just swallows them up, and they're always taking pneumonia. Something is always happening to them. As a matter of fact, I think of my brother-in-law, Sam. Sam, he's always getting pneumonia. Sam, his body's run down and got weak on him. But I can remember years ago when he worked so much day and night that he didn't hardly know what a cold was, let alone getting anything as bad as pneumonia. I mean, he could work all night. He could go in the cold. He could go continually. And he always seemed healthy. I can't ever remember him going to the doctor until just the last few years. He just had a perseverance. He was a working, hard working man. See, it just means that there is an inter-resistance, and that inter-resistance is God. And it can help you to overcome your human senses. While the others have sensually separated themselves, giving their senses to devils and demons to pray off of them, that those demons and devils might have the inspiration of life through that human body by the grace of God of the blood that's on the seat of atonement until that blood is taken off. That they might have that through human senses. God has permitted that to those that are beasts out there, in that the beast was the one that Lucifer entered into in the garden. And it was the swine that those demons entered into when Jesus gave them leave to go and took them out of Legion. So then when we see these beautiful things, it makes us know that we are superhuman. We are super men and women. We have a super endurance, but at the same time, if we don't use it, if we don't tap in on it, if we don't practice it, if we don't practice the utilization of our faith, as I said earlier in this message, then our faith isn't going to be any advantage. And our faith will not work until we've done our all. That is, the Bible said, do these things that please Him. Hereby we assure our hearts, and this is our confidence of faith that we know He hears us, and if that be so, then we have what we ask of Him. I mean, that's automatically settled because it's given to us in Christ. It's not a matter of me having to pray and persuade God to give me these things. He's already given me all things that pertain unto life in Christ Jesus. It's a matter of me getting confidence in my heart that He hears my prayer. That He hears my prayer. The Bible said, you do not pray as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. When we make our voice to be heard on high, when He hears our prayer, we automatically have it. Because it's already given to us, freely given to us. And let me say this in closing. Remember one thing. You've got to condemn sickness. You've got to condemn sin in the flesh. You've got to condemn these things that are wrong. You've got to condemn all of these things. You've got to say those things are of the devil. And that the Lord Jesus was manifested to take away the works of the devil, or to destroy the works of the devil. And by faith in God, you're not going to have them. Do what you can to get rid of them. And have faith in God, and don't quit persevering or praying or talking to God until it's completely eradicated out of your body. Stay with it. Don't give up. If you don't give up, the devil will have to give up. He'll have to give up. And you don't have to give up, because God is with you. He is an unrelinquishing power. So then, condemn it. Don't condone it. Don't go around moping and saying, well, the Lord has chastened me. The Lord has done this. The Lord has afflicted me. It's true that evil can't come to a city unless the Lord sends it. It is true that affliction is of God, to the extent the Bible said God doth not afflict willingly. Whatever comes, He has to allow it to be there. It is true that it is a chastening to us because of our carelessness or giving place to the devil by saying something or doing something that we have no business doing. That's all true.
And it is true that if we're not careful, we get into a position to where we cannot get our faith to register and we cannot get out of prison until we pay the uttermost following, because we willingly allowed ourselves to get into a fix by not having any resistance. But it is also true that God said, I would, above all things, what I say to one, I say to all, above all things, I would that ye prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So that's the will of God, and that's the desire of God. And when these things does come, when condemnation does come, when you do stumble, when you know you're doing your best, don't condemn yourself. Raise your faith up. Don't give place to the devil to jump on you. Raise your faith up and say, well, Jesus, I love you anyway. You're going to help me anyway. It don't make no difference. And whatever comes, believe God anyway. Keep your faith strong anyway. Keep on, and God will help you meet it. God will help you shake it off. God will give you perseverance. God will give you a better outlook next time. God will do something special for you to where you won't fall into that snare next time, and you'll be a lot stronger, and you can help someone else along the way. They got that song, if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. Unless we condemn it in our mind as the works of the devil, you're never going to get loose from it. Remember that now. Unless you condemn it as the works of the devil, you've got to get it in your mind. And you've got to say, that's not God. That's not God. Say, oh, but look, that was God that did that to Job. Come on, folks. You don't find where God done nothing to Job. The Bible said the devil went there and asked permission to do it to Job. God only gave him permission. See, those things are of the devil. Sickness is of the devil. Depression is of the devil. Oppression is of the devil. Poverty is of the devil. Death is of the devil. The enemy of God come by man, not by God. All of these things came by man. God didn't give sickness. God didn't give death. God didn't give poverty. It was man that made the mistake in the garden. And he lost his health. He lost his life. He lost his prosperity. He lost everything. Everything because of his sins. Death, sickness, poverty came by man. And Jesus came to restore. Jesus came as a near kinsman to restore. He came to give you back all these wonderful things through the power and deliverance of the wonderful word of his promise. Having given you all things that pertain unto life. The wonderful, magnificent promises of God. Can you believe that? We're preaching deliverance. I preach that death is past and gone. You said you believe that. Isn't that right? I preach that time is no more. You believe that. Isn't that right? And I preach that sickness has completely been abolished in the atonement. By his stripes you were healed. The Bible says so. He condemned it. For the Bible said he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. How many of you believe he destroyed the works of the devil? All right, if I be sick, then I say, oh God, you've got to come and destroy the works of the devil. Then I'm an unbeliever. He isn't going to come destroy anything. But when I look back at Calvary and I say, this is a lying vanity. This devil is a lying vanity. He doesn't have any right to my body. Back yonder at Calvary, the Lord destroyed the works of the devil. This is a lying vanity that's weeping over me. That's taking advantage of me. And if I observe this lying vanity, I forsake my own mercy that was given me in that thing that he did for me at Calvary. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to be free, isn't that right? Free. The Spirit of God makes us free. We've got to keep trying. We've got to keep believing. We've got to keep studying the Word. Got to keep being tutored until we get this mind in us that was in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Not looking for reputation, but being humble, obedient, even unto death at Calvary. I want you to stand with me. I hope I can get the right mind within you. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that the devil is never going to jump on me again? I certainly don't. I'm just telling you that greater is he that is within you than the one that's jumping on you. You know, if you've got a muscle about twice the size of the fellow that keeps pounding you in the face, you ain't got to do but one thing and that'll take care of it. Like that Brother Jack that came here, said he went over to a pool room
somewhere over there, a bar it was, went over there to get something to drink when he was out in the world, but he was a prize fighter. Stepped outside, and the girl that was running the bar thought that they was going to bump him on the head and take his money. Perceiving that he had money, she sent somebody around, he supposed, and was going to clip him with a pool stick. As he started to get into the car, the man raised up the pool stick, and he happened to see him, and being a prize fighter, he hit him one time and knocked him up against the wall and killed him. Another boy out in Oklahoma did the same thing, sitting at a bar stool. I think maybe the man said a remark toward his girlfriend or whatever. He raised up, he was a little stocky fella, hit him one time and killed him. I remember young Strickland fighting in the ring. One time he hit the man, he killed him. See, I'm not saying that to support their cause. That's wrong, even though Jack was still doing it in defense. But I'm just saying this, why let the devil beat on you? Keep believing, keep praying. You say, but you don't know how I feel, Brother Pike, when I'm sick. I guess I do, I'm a human being. I know how I feel. The Bible said Jesus was tempted in every way. Yeah, but I believe in getting something for it. I do too. Anything you can get. You know, if you got a stick in your finger, if you can get somebody to pull it out, get it out. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go for days and I don't seek any relief because I want to feel the pain and misery. And then sometimes it's just something that just aggravates the life out of me, getting right in my way to try to keep me from preaching or doing whatever. What I'm saying is not that the devil isn't going to attack you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when he does attack you, have a little perseverance, have a little drive, have a little fight back. Let life on the inside raise up against that and make an effort to conquer that and make your body strong and healthy. Keep it strong and healthy by faith in God. You understand what I'm saying? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. But if you'll be strong in the power of his might, I don't care who you are. I don't care what age you are. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Somebody said, well, you get so far along, you know, like a clock tick-tock and out you go. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It's life. The Bible said some will live longer by reason of strength. It is life. It is the strength within you. It's how much perseverance, how much drive, how much faith you got. The men of old, when they departed, they didn't depart because their life run out. They just got tired and weary of this place and they said, hey, I think I'll go up. I'll give it up and go. I was told a few days ago, I believe it was George Whitefield, preached 18,000 sermons in his lifetime. Said when he got ready to go, he just bid his friends goodbye and went upstairs, laid down on the bed and left. Jacob done the same thing, called them all together. Isaac, all of them, you know, and then they yielded up the ghost. Jesus did the same thing. No man taketh my life from me, I just yield up the ghost. So you have power over death. You have power over death. How do you believe that you've got power over death? The Bible said the last enemy to be conquered is death. That means that the world will never conquer death. And the last enemy to be conquered is death. And that will be at the great white throne of judgment when the graves give up their dead. When the sea gives up its dead, that will be the last conquering, and death and hell shall be cast in the lake of fire. But now, if death is not conquered for the saints before then, how is it before the 1,000 years that the righteous live again? The Bible said the wicked dead shall not live again until after the 1,000 years is finished. See, which means death is not conquered until the days of the wicked dead when they're brought forth. But with us, Mary, Martha, the tomb of Lazarus, he'll live again in the resurrection. Said, I am the resurrection, Jesus said. I am the resurrection. Though you were dead, yet shall you live. All that are in him are alive. You've passed from death unto life. You've conquered death through Jesus. That's why that somebody's going to discover that they don't have to sleep and be put in the dirt. Because they've conquered death. Enoch discovered that death was conquered. Down through the telescope of time, somebody would say, but Jesus had not yet died for sin. But the Bible said he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. A
before Enoch ever was, Jesus said, I am. So, in that we've conquered death, in that we've conquered sickness, in that we've conquered poverty, in that we've conquered pain, in that we've conquered misery. That's what the suffering is for. The suffering comes for you to conquer it. For you to conquer it. That God might look back at it and say it's been conquered by the body of Christ. So persevere, pray, believe, go on. God will help you to master every situation. Taking the shield of faith that you might be able to conquer all the pain, all the misery. That you might be able to conquer. For He is the mighty conqueror. So then let's believe. You say, but Brother Pike, what if I'm 80 years old? The Bible said your strength shall be as your day. It shall be reckoned unto you as your day. If you live 80 years, then be 80 years strong. If you live 70 years, be 70 years strong. If you live 60 years, be 60 years strong. Let your strength be as your day. Don't give in to feelings and thoughts. Some people say, well, I feel old, Brother Pike. Usually because of your laziness and because of your inactivity. It's like Brother Green across the road over here. I guess Brother Green's about 70. Moses Grass keeps going strong, still hanging sheetrock. You know, usually when you don't do anything, your muscles are pulled down and you have a bodily fatigue because it takes an activity to keep rejuvenating the muscular parts of the body and the interior parts of the body as to those things that we have to have as to the hormones, as to those things on the inside of the body, the organic parts. The less you do, the less you want to do. Because the more lazier you get, the more weaker you get. And finally you get into a complex of situation where you can't do anything. You say, but I've got a disease, Brother Pike. I know a lot of people are diseased. One way or another. But the thing is, just because you've got a problem, that don't mean you can't do nothing. You can do something. And the more you do, the more God gives you ability to do. The more He strengthens you, the more He helps you. All right, let's sing this song. To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on earth I long, just to be like Him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask, just to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Just to be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on earth I long, just to be like Him, by grace forgiven, akin to hell. On earth I long,
just to be like.
Sing it one more time.
Just to be like Jesus. Just to be like Jesus. On earth I long. Just to be like Him. All through life's journey. From earth to glory. I only ask. Just to be like Him.
Don't you want to be like Jesus? Just to be like Jesus.
On earth alone to be like Him.
We can be like Jesus if we want to be like Jesus. I like living forever, don't you? I passed from death unto life years ago. And because of that, I'm alive forevermore. I shall never die. Never, no, never, no, never. I shall never die. Death is behind me. Death is gone. I've overcome death and the tempter. And I passed into that world of immortality, that world of everlasting glory and blessing. And from henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me by the finished works of the Holy Father, through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And not only for me, but for everyone that will name the name of Jesus and depart from iniquity, or everyone that doeth His will. How wonderful it is to pass from death unto life and to be on the other side of the river. We sing that song, "When I stand on the dark side of Jordan, then I'll need Thee most of all. In that hour, I will need Thee, Lord, most of all." Standing in heaven is a privilege. Being in heaven is a privilege. You know, to be able to have this privilege, to have this inheritance, to be able to be part of this, you've got to get out of the mind of man. You've got to get out of the soulish realm. You've got to pass from that world into this world. If you don't, as long as you abide within the mind of man, then that means that you are in the flesh. You must pass from the mind of man into the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? These things of which I tell you. The Bible, we have passed from death unto life. That's the mind of Christ. You're not in the world. That's the mind of Christ. God has chosen you out of the world. That's the mind of Christ. Ye are in heaven. That's the mind of Christ. Do you believe all of this? Do you believe that you're in the heavenly places? Do you believe you've been made partakers of this eternal life? Do you believe that you passed from death unto life? Do you believe that you are free from sin and death? Do you believe that God at death took your spirit into His loving care? Do you believe that? Then if you believe that, then that's what you are. If you can think that way in your heart, then that's what you are. If you cannot think that way, then you're not that way. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. I think that way. That's why I'm in heaven. That's why I enjoy these wonderful things. That's why I go from day to day rejoicing over the fact that God has secured me, eternally secured me, and taken me out of the flesh, and taken me out of the world, and taken me away from the problems of life, having taken me into that wonderful world of God. For I've been born again. I was born into that wonderful world of God. And from a little child, from a little babe, having been born into that world, I've grown little by little, until I've looked around me now and I'm beginning to behold my environment. And oh, how beautiful it is. We sing the song, "How beautiful heaven must be." I'm beholding it as those visions. I saw those things in heaven. Standing within heaven, standing within the presence of the great King, standing within the great city, standing within the glory of God, living in the environment of this wonderful life, this wonderful realm of God. Like Brother Branham has said many times, I wish that my lovely audience could be in this dimension that I'm in and see the things that I'm seeing. It is so wonderful
to be transported to another dimension, to move into another world, to behold those things. Have you been born again? I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden, and I'll go with him, all the way where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow, and I'll go with him, all the way. He will give me and glory. He will give me of his grace and his glory. He will give me of his grace and glory, and I'll go with him all the way. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. There by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul
God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. For I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. You love the Lord? Sing this little chorus. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power. There is power in the blood, power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The precious is that flow, makes me white snow. No wonderful it is to be a child of God and to know that you're no longer in the world, that you're no longer in the world, that He's chosen you out of the world and that you've been born into another world. And tonight you are in another world. How many of you believe that you are in a new world since the Lord saved you? In another world. Not something that someone would say, well, Brother Pike, we know that we're in this world, we see everybody, but by faith, we're making believe we're in another world. No, that's not what it is at all. Not what it is at all. Somebody said, well, I'm just believing I'm in another world. No, that ain't what it is at all. No, you don't just go around believing that you're in another world. You don't do that. The Bible said you've been born again of the Spirit of God. And if you have not God's Spirit, it don't matter how much you go around believing, it don't mean nothing. You have been born into another world. Your spirit that was born into this world, that lived in this human body, when your body died by Calvary, the very day that you believed in that, your spirit left your body and went into another body called the world of God, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If this tabernacle be dissolved, you have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. You're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You have been hid with Christ. You've gone and entered into that tabernacle with Christ, even into that heavenly, not made by hands. Jesus entered into that one The priest of old entered into the ones made by hand, but Jesus took his own blood and entered into the heavenly tabernacle. That's why John saw it as the revelation of Jesus Christ when the veil was rent and he beheld, and there inside of the heavenly tabernacle, he saw this great, wonderful thing. So it is the heavenly tabernacle, not made with hands. That's where we're at tonight. He rent the veil in twain. The mighty conqueror has rent the veil in twain. We don't have to rend the veil in twain. All we're doing is just entering into the holies of holies through the door of the word of the Spirit of Revelation, even Christ, who is the sheep, fold door. And we enter in through that to go into the heavenlies. We do that to go into the heavenlies. Let's sing that song. I found a new place in the heavenly, a place of peace, a place of rest. I found a new place in God's heavenlies, in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing. Oh, yes, it's changing me, changing me. Oh, it's changing me, changing me. The light of the glory of his unveiled face, it's that glory that is changing me. Sing it like this now. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. End us the mind of Christ, the Father and the Son. It's in thy shining glory that we see the Our hope is to be like him. Oh, let thy will be done. Let's bow our heads together. Close our eyes. Remember, God is looking down upon us. He's waiting, watching. He wants to see to whom you will yield your human senses. You've got human senses. You've got a life to live. And he's going to see to whom you yield of those human senses.
If you just don't have any control over your human senses, the Bible says that you are like a city with a broken down wall. If you must give your eyes to the lust of the things of the world, if you just cannot keep your eyes holy and pure, to be a pure eyes that cannot look upon iniquity, then you can never be the body of the Almighty God. Wouldn't you like to be the body of the Almighty God, the temple of the Almighty God, the tabernacle of the Almighty God? Then, if that be so, you must yield your body to His entrance, to Him. For He will come in and sup with you, and you with Him. That is, He will enjoy life through your spirit as to tangible things, and you will enjoy life through His spirit as to heavenly things, as to a holy union. If you can give your body to that spirit, but if you give your body to the world and the love of the world, then that means that you gave it to Lucifer, even the prince of the world, who loves the things of the world. That's after your human senses. And then you will be reckoned as one of those who have separated themselves sensually by your human senses. Having separated yourself sensually by means of letting the devil have your human senses, you will be one that has separated yourself, your body, from the wonderful spirit of Christ that would have dwelt within you. So tonight, think it over. To do that is to completely lose out. Adam and Eve did that, and Adam all die. But Jesus came that we might be reconciled and to give us the second chance. Adam had his chance. He left it, he and Eve. Now you have your chance. Will you do the same thing? Will you turn around and go after the fashions of the world, the riches of the world, the inspirations of the natural life, the quickenings of the flesh, the gullible desire of monetary value, the ego of the ecclesiasticals, of the ecclesias? Or will you go after the places of the dignitaries and those places that are there, the upper echelon of the world? Will you go after those things? Or will you follow after Jesus? Will you follow after Jesus? Will you take up your cross and follow Him? Jesus said, take up your cross. It's a cross because it's a self-denial. The spirit and the flesh crossing one another. Will you take up your cross and will you follow Him? Or will you follow the fashions of the world? It's up to you. Whatever you desire, whatever you want to be, you can be that. But remember God and do that in the days of your youth. Remember the Creator. In the days of your youth, He can do great and mighty things through your body, through your mind, through your life, to be an inspiration to others, and you can be great and mighty in God and lay up a great and mighty reward, some great reward in heaven. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, let's just go on to a full reward, the Bible tells us. Whatever you want to surrender, in the early church, they surrendered all they had. Their bodily means, their natural substance, their spiritual lives. They surrendered it all. What will you do? What will you do? The songwriter said, I surrender all, Lord, I surrender all. All to Thee, Lord, I surrender. And I surrender all. While you've got your heads bowed, I want you to lift your hands up with me. This is the end of another Sabbath day, as we call it. Another Sunday. We've been in service this morning. I've exhorted you a little bit. We've been in service tonight. I've exhorted you then again. See, all of you have been in service, most of you, a couple of times today. And I've tried my best to exhort you, to encourage you, to indoctrinate you, to put heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel. I've tried my best to reprogram your mind all over again to the good, tasty things of God. So you'll have sufficient food for the coming week, sufficient strength when you run into the opposition.
that these things will be fresh in your mind is to battle against those harassing thoughts that are ever there, that continual warfare. When the pain and the misery comes, that you'll have an inspiration from God. See, put down the body. Lay aside the body. Crucify the body. The Bible said, they that belong to God have mortified the flesh with the deeds and the lust thereof. See, do away with those things. Make no provision for the flesh. Come out of the body. Come out of the flesh. Purify. Cleanse. Take away the infiltration. Be holy in body and in spirit. Don't let sin reign in your mortal members. Don't let your thoughts be arrogant, jealous, conniving, lustful, surmising, thinking the wrong thoughts. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Out of the heart comes forth thoughts of evil. These defile a man. Don't let those thoughts reign there. Cast down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the mind and knowledge of Jesus. Bring into captivity, as to the inner strength of the inner man, of the inner perseverance, every thought to the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ, the holy, virtuous, godly, pure mind that was ever concerned about the Heavenly Father, saying, Thy will be done, Heavenly Father, not mine. While you're standing here, I'm going to call little David Clyde up to come and dismiss us. David is trying hard to give his life to Jesus. I really believe that with all my heart. He's struggling to give his life to Jesus and to walk with Jesus. That's beautiful. I see the young girl standing here before me. Some struggling to give their life to Jesus. I think that's so beautiful. The young men, so beautiful. They struggle to be an inspiration to God in the time of their youth, to remember the Creator before the evil days of heartaches and misery and pain comes. As men look back and say, I have no pleasure in those days. For what you sow, you must reap. If you don't sow anything evil and wretched, you don't reap anything evil and wretched. If you sow to the flesh, you must of the flesh reap. And that is corruptible things. Everything of your strength that you sow to the natural, all you'll ever get out of it is some natural thing which is corruptible. It'll deteriorate. For he that soweth to the corrupt, to the world, reaps of the world corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit reaps eternal things, heavenly treasure in our earthen vessels. He reaps eternal things and eternal rewards by sowing to the Spirit. Then his inheritance is an eternal inheritance. It's a late, late hour, folks, a late, late day. I would just love to be able to fellowship the saints and get into a real mind of the Spirit and just go through things for many hours talking about this wonderful, wonderful world of God. It would be so wonderful. Moses was 80 days on the mountain. This morning I said went back for 80 more. I meant he was up there 40 and went back for 40 more. But he was 80 days on the mountain, right there in the presence of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could just slip away? Just slip away for maybe 2 or 3 months like he did, and just be right in the Spirit, right in the environment of God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We can do it, folks. Now's our chance. Now's our opportunity. As little David comes to pray with us, then let's everybody acknowledge the Lord and concentrate right now on the wonderful mind of Jesus.